This is such good stuff, man, because these are the like little behind the scenes stuff that us fans don't really get privy to, right? So we really appreciate you kind of filling us in here.
Patreon.com/thewalkoffpodcast. $4 a month gets you in there.
Baseball, Blue Jays, and more baseball. It's the walk-off with Scott Belford and Adam Mack.
This ball is crushed.
The Die Hard Podcast for the casual fan.
And another one. My goodness.
We are so thrilled to have returning to the show catcher for the Toronto Blue Jays organization, finishing his season with the AAA Buffalo Bison last year. Chris Beck, welcome back to the walk-off, man. Thanks for taking the time.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. Love the podcast. You know, you guys are talk to you guys every year, and it's always a pleasure to join.
Yeah, that is exactly true. First time we chatted to you off season going into 2021, and then you got the call up to AA. Then we talked to you last off season, right? You got the call up to AAA. I like that you're coming back. Why mess with a good thing?
Exactly, guys. Exactly. I love the way we're headed.
Honestly, though, Chris, truly, man, you are on the verge of the show, and your progress and development over the years has been so impressive. Well done, buddy.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
How was your off season, man? Did you get any vacationing in? Did you see some family? What did you do?
Yeah, so honestly, this year I've just spent time, a lot of time with my family. So yeah, we've been going down to the Florida Keys, taking some fishing trips and some barbecues together.
Nice.
So yeah, I've been just training in the mornings and, you know, spending time with the fam.
Is that a little different from past off seasons? Like, now that you're such a seasoned vet within the organization, you can kind of concentrate on, you know, things outside of baseball a bit, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So definitely when I was younger, I was like, not that I am not in love with baseball. I love baseball with all my heart, but I feel like when I was younger, I wouldn't give myself a break. In the right way, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I feel like now that as I've been progressed in my career, I feel like I do spend that valuable time with my family, because we are away from my family for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I've learned that spending time with your family is really, really important for a baseball player. So during the season,
I think that is something that if you have a passion, you need to kind of learn how to weigh, you know, like both Adam and I are comedians, and it's very similar, right? Like you become all focused on the one thing, on the one goal, and you let other aspects of your life, you know, go to the wayside. And the longer you do it, the more important it is to find that balance, because we're still humans, right? Like you still gotta live a life.
Mm-hmm. That's it. That's literally exactly it.
Would love to hear. When you got the call up to Buffalo last season, were you expecting it, man? And how did they let you know?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I don't really go much about expecting it. You know, I just do my thing, and then whatever they feel. I mean, honestly, the Blue Jays have treated me amazing since I signed with them. So, I mean, I pretty much trust them to the point where if they send me somewhere, they know that I'm ready for there. So, mm-hmm. I believe I'm ready to play in any league, but at the same time, I understand that I'm with the team and they decide my future. So, honestly, I was just okay with every situation that they put me in. And I just know that I'm going to give my best regardless of where I am. And I was excited to be a part of AAA and be with guys that I've been with and guys that I haven't, but, it was a big learning experience for me. And, you know, I loved every part of it.
Was it tricky to learn a new pitching staff on the go? Like, listen, I know you've got familiarity with a lot of these guys, but at the same time, you're still jumping into a completely different group of starters, a group of bullpen pitchers. Was there more homework involved going from AA to AAA, just not knowing the guys as well?
Oh, definitely. So, I mean, with the older guys in AAA, you got to show that you got to earn their respect. You know, you can't, you got to show them that you actually care about their career as a catcher. Cause at the end of the day, that's part of our job, caring about other people's career. So yeah, the homework, knowing their best off speed for strike, knowing what pitches get the other pitch right, just knowing what to say, knowing how to say it, it's definitely a big deal. Definitely, it was a big difference in AAA as far as getting to know all the guys. Yeah,
right, because you're almost redeveloping relationships, I guess, eh?
Exactly what it was. And a lot of these guys have major league time, so you got to also not only care about their career, but learn from them. They're going to
yeah, right.
Yeah. So
what was the biggest difference behind the plate? So homework aside, just when you're right there in the moment between double A and triple A defensively.
Yeah. So the biggest difference, honestly, is execution. I mean, the pitchers in triple A execute a lot more. And it's crazy how it's just one little jump, like double A to triple A, and the difference is huge. I mean, the hitters, they're not really missing pitches that are in their hot zone. They're only swinging at that. And then the pitchers in triple A are kind of going away from that hot zone, and it's just that little chess game. That's all it is. And then, honestly, it's just less room for error in AAA than AA. Guys won't miss their pitch, and guys won't miss their spot very often. So it's just that type of chess game.
You kind of mentioned the big leaguers that are playing in AAA at times too, right? The guys who have had some careers already there. Mm-hmm. I know Casey Lawrence kind of comes to mind there. What is it like having these wily veterans around you all of a sudden, you know, guys who have been through the trenches of the baseball world?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Casey has helped me since double A. He was in double A with me. And I mean, I asked this guy tons of questions because he's done everything what I've wanted to do in my career, you know, even if it is going up and down in the big leagues, it's still, you know, it's an amazing thing to do. And what's awesome about Casey is that he comes up, and when he comes down, he's got a whole new thing of info for you, that what's going on in the major leagues and how they're playing and how they're pitching, because it is a game of adjustments. And then just out in the locker room stuff, like Casey would, you know, just tell me what to do and what not to do before I do it type stuff. So, I mean, Casey's an awesome teammate, awesome guy, and I've learned tons of stuff from him.
I love hearing that. I know Matt Gage brought up Casey Lawrence too, just as a, and it's funny, he's like, he's loaded with info and stuff, but the thing that Gage brought up was like the levity in the clubhouse. Like, he's just a bit of a joker. He knows when to make things light and when to like make people laugh. And it's kind of cool to have a guy like that in the clubhouse with you.
Yeah. Casey's the older brother you don't want to let down, because he does everything so good. You just don't want to let him down.
Love it.
So, Chris, how is Salem Field? I know that the Jays did a pile of renovations to it in 2021 when they were making it home there. Is it an enjoyable AAA stadium?
It's very, very nice, especially nice. The amenities for, I mean, for the players, not a lot of people get to see it, but the amenities, they're very, very, very nice. And the field conditions, I mean, I was there in 2018 for a pre-draft workout, and it's night and day compared to how I was.
This was just announced, and I don't know if you've had time to put all that much thought into it, but I would love to know, because it was just announced that all AAA games this year are going to have robo-umps. Adam and I have been asked this question personally by our listeners, and honestly, man, you are just so much better equipped to answer this. So if you could fill the folks in, and what the question is with framing being such a massive part of the catching game, and just the amount of value that's put on the ability to steal strikes here and there, but with robo-umps, is that going to make framing irrelevant? And on top of that, what are your personal thoughts on robo-umps?
Yeah, so honestly, I think it is going to be making framing irrelevant, but there's other parts of catching that are going to be exploited more. So I believe throwing and blocking are going to be the number one priorities, one and two, because receiving is now out the picture. Now you technically just have to catch the ball. You don't have to make it look good. You don't have to do nothing. You just have to catch it. Umpire's going to say ball or strike. With that being said, we just have to be in a throwing position at all times. You know what right. I'm saying? Because since we don't have to worry about catching this ball, right? We just got to be in a throwing position at all times. So if there is a runner, I'm ready to throw at all times. Rather than focusing on catching this ball and bringing it back to the strike zone, it's kind of just catch and make sure it goes. The second thing was blocking would be so much like more important, because now there's no excuse to not block the ball, because you don't have to try to make the, you don't have to try to catch it right. So blocking should be like almost a guarantee, because it, we're taking receiving out of the picture. It's one less thing to do. So now it's just throwing and blocking. And if there's nobody on, you just got to make sure you block.
Yeah.
That is an interesting point about the being ready to throw, because I know there was some comical, I don't know if highlights is the right word, but last year where, you know, there's two outs and the runner's going, right? But the catcher doesn't even throw down to two because he's too busy still framing that pitch, just hoping beyond hope that he can get the strike and didn't need to have thrown. But, you know, meanwhile, it's just an easy stolen base on a low ball. Yep. So that's a good point.
Yep.
To expand on this, Chris, and you're like the perfect guy to answer this because you are a dude who very well could make his major league debut this year. You could be a guy who yo-yos up and down a little bit if there's some knock on wood, bad tacos. We're very superstitious here on the walk-off, so we don't like to use that I word, but you know what I mean. You know, you have a bad taco, need to, yeah. What is it going to be like to go from catching in a robo-ump scenario to all of a sudden maybe literally framing being everything again?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, it's just going to be something where you can't lose your ability to receive. It's going to be tricky, because this is where it's going to be tricky. There's some pitchers that don't like for the catcher to just like get rid of the ball. They want to see where it is, regardless of the robo. So if the pitcher genuinely just doesn't care, then yeah, just throw receiving out the window. But if he does care, then you're you're going to have to do what he wants, because he's your pitcher. Now, with that being said, let's just say we don't have to receive at all in AAA, and then you go to the big leagues and you have to receive. If you're going to be that up and down guy, then you have to be putting in work on the side just to be ready. And the scary part of this is the habit that the catchers are going to have into not sticking strikes, that then there is going to be this borderline pitch, which will be like right here, that instead of just sticking it, you're just going to let it go. Mm-hmm. And that one bad habit happens two or three times a game, and now it's a big deal.
Yeah. So, I can imagine this is going to be tricky for pitchers going up and down too, right?
Mm-hmm. Casey mentioned it on Twitter, because honestly, I've been, I'm okay.
We hit a sore spot here, Chris.
Yeah, I have nothing like, but I think the only mistake that they probably made, hey, who am I, was to make this a thing in AAA when there's going to be guys that are fighting for their life, fighting for their career.
Yes.
And they're going up and down. I mean, it could have been I get the whole idea, but they could have just done it in a lower level. Could have been A ball or something. But the fact that these guys, older guys like Casey, are going to have to deal with going to the big leagues and then coming back to this.
Yeah.
I mean, Casey goes up, and then when he comes down, he's got a list of things that he needs to do in order to get back up.
Yeah, but he's playing a different game without. He goes down.
Exactly. And it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. So
is there a rule over the last couple of years? Yeah, because Major League Baseball continues to make minor league baseball the guinea pig. But is there a rule change that you do like, you know, something they implemented recently that by the end of the year, you're like, this actually makes the game better?
Definitely. The clock.
Oh, the pitch clock. You like that, eh?
Oh, my God. I love the pitch clock. I love it. I mean, at first, like, it was kind of like speeding up, you know, but then like, shoot, we're done in 2 hours. It's great. And yeah. Like, there's no like pause times. It's just go. And I love it. Honestly,
you can feel there's a rhythm to it, eh? The rhythm of the game is more prevalent. Literally,
there's more rhythm rather than everybody's just doing what they want. So
how do you notice, just in terms of your own body, like if we're shaving an hour off the game, that's half an hour less time you're spending in the squat, right? Do you notice that in like your recovery the next day? You're you're feeling it's loose huge. Still, or
it's huge. It's huge because like, number one, as catchers, we get mentally tired more than I.
Yeah.
So I mean, like, if you're giving me more time at night after the game to just relax, I'm all in. And number one, number two, I mean, the game is just going smoother. You know, the game is going smoother. The mound visits are so important. We're not just taking out mound visits for no reason anymore.
Yeah.
Like, these mound visits are actually very important. Something's being said. I mean, I like it. They put us in a little bit of time constraint. You know, we panicked a little bit in the first month.
Yeah, right. Of course, there's some getting used to, right?
Yeah, we didn't know what was going on. Hitters were calling timeouts and getting called strikes and all sorts of stuff. But hey, you know, keep a foot in the box. I hated it too, but whatever.
Yeah. I love that. So you're a Florida boy through and through, right? You were raised in Miami, grew up there. Yeah. Okay. So now I'm going to ask the tough questions here. What is the biggest difference between the people in Miami, Florida, and the people in Buffalo, New York?
Yeah. So, big difference for sure.
No one's writing an article called Buffalo Man.
Yeah. I mean, look, honestly, Miami is literally like, I've been here my whole life. I love my city.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it's a crazy place, you know, it's a crazy place. And if you don't take care of yourself and you don't make the right decisions, you will get in a lot of trouble here.
Mm.
Buffalo, it's like a sports town, you know, like everybody just loves sports and the people kind of just very nice people, you know. I like the Northeast. Miami is my home forever, but Miami, I mean, it's a big city. It moves at 1,000 miles an hour. There's a lot of things going on. A lot of good people, a lot of bad people. I mean,
yeah. It's funny because I know very little about both cities. Like, I feel ignorant about it, and I don't know why. My image of Miami is just like they're way better dancers than people in Buffalo, but like.
So dumb.
I mean, yeah, it's fun. It Miami's got tons of cool stuff like that, but you know, living here, you can definitely get into a lot of trouble. So
growing up in Florida, Chris, do you ever get used to the weather? I know we had Haggy D on the show, Hag and Danner, and California boy, right? And oh my goodness, he had nothing good to say about the weather in Florida. It's too humid, it rains too much.
He hates it. He says the weather in Cali is way better.
Do you get used to it being from there though? Are you're just a Florida guy and it doesn't bother you, or does it wear on you too sometimes?
The Florida
the
weather?
Humidity and the weather, yeah.
Nah,
you're like,
I'm
no,
good on
it's
that.
Good.
I'm
better
good
than
that.
Buffalo weather.
Yeah, I'm good in honestly, I went to University of Maine, guys, and it was pretty cold.
Yeah.
It was pretty cold. So I'm pretty good in the cold, and I mean the heat, I don't mind it either. So but I will give Hagen this. Dry heat is way better than humid.
Yeah.
Dry heat is way better.
Speaking of cold weather, what was your favorite thing about New Hampshire? And I don't mean the Fisher Cats. I mean, just Manchester in general, the state of New Hampshire, just life there. What was that like?
Yeah. New Hampshire was tough. We had a tough situation there. I was living in the team in a hotel. Mm. So meaning we had to check out every week. Like, we couldn't.
Are you kidding? Oh, wow.
So my car was literally filled with clothes and shoes at all times. I ended up getting my car stolen.
No.
Yeah. It was,
body.
Yeah, it was New Hampshire was not it. When I got to Buffalo,
you were ready to go.
I was ecstatic. I was ecstatic.
That's wild. So you'd have a home stint in New Hampshire. They put you up in a hotel for the week. And then when you're heading out on the road, you have to just check out and throw all your stuff in your car. That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And then this past year, they paid for our housing. So when I was there for that month and a half, I mean, it wasn't as bad because they put us in their own housing, you know, it wasn't team hotel anymore. Mm. So it was definitely better.
Because that allowed you to just leave your stuff there at least, right?
Right. It was just my first year in AA, it was just a constant just moving. And I'm just not staying still whatsoever. If we got back home from a road trip at 3 a.m, I had to unpack my car, repack my bags, and then check into the hotel.
Jeez.
And then we gotta be at the field at 12 o'clock. So
Just everyone is like referring to their car as their storage unit. Just
literally, literally, everybody just had a bunch of storage units in the parking lot.
Jeez. Unreal, man. Wow, that is wild. Yeah, no, that would be a pain in the butt, especially like you said, after a road trip coming home and you're like, okay, now to haul my clothes into the hotel. Great. Yeah.
What is the housing situation like in Buffalo then?
Oh, sick.
Yeah. Sick.
They put me in some apartment. I'm pretty sure some Buffalo Bills players lived there.
Oh, awesome.
It was, I mean, I loved it. I loved that. The housing, I got no complaints about the housing in Buffalo.
Okay.
That is so awesome, man. So, and you are, this is the thing, buddy. You've been around pro ball for a while. You've seen the ins and outs of it in the Jays organization for 5 years now. You've played all the levels, low A, triple A. You have seen many, many stadiums. Do you have a favorite one?
Nat Bailey.
Really? It is Vancouver's your favorite stadium. I love it.
That place is rocking, man. I love that place. I swear when I got drafted and I went to Vancouver, I was like, man, this is sick. This is unbelievable. Vancouver, like, I'm like, I don't even want to go to the big leagues. I want to stay right here.
Because you're actually playing. I know others have mentioned Vancouver is like, they love it there. It's the crowd, right? You go from playing to nobody to going to Vancouver and it's packed. Yeah,
it's so sick. And like, it's awesome just because of that. Like, you go play Boise and there's no one there. And then you go to Vancouver and it's packed house. It was awesome.
Was Vancouver your first taste of Canada?
Yeah.
Yeah. First time.
First taste of Canada, first taste of Pro Bowl.
Love it, man. That is so cool. By chance, have you seen the movie Major League?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. You're like, of course. What am I living in a hole? Of course. You know the scene where Jake Taylor's behind the plate and he's constantly mouthing off to the batter?
Oh yeah. When
does that ever happen? Like, maybe not quite as adversarially, but is there some jawing going on sometimes?
It definitely does happen.
Yeah,
it does. I mean, most of the time it's just, I mean, as a pro baseball player, you end up being friends with a lot of these guys,
right?
Especially playing through them in levels and going up levels together, you know? So, yeah, I mean, now, I mean, there's guys that I've been playing against for 3-4 years. So, like, when they come up to the box, I know them. So, it's probably at the beginning of the season is, hey, welcome back. How's the family? And then towards the end of the season, it's like, hey, man, we're getting you out. You got no chance.
You know? Hi, coming to your head, buddy.
Yeah, it's awesome part of the game with catching. A lot of the conversation is with umpires, too. You know, professional conversations with them, figuring out their zone and if they like where you're setting up, or if you're moving the ball too much or whatever it is. Those conversations.
If you're struggling getting into the rhythm of strikes and the strike zone and stuff like that, what do you do? Like, what are you saying to the umpire? What questions are you asking to try and kind of figure that out?
Yeah, definitely. So number one thing would be setup. So if he, you got to ask him, like, am I setting up off? Like, do you let, like, am I on the plate? Number two would be a lot of veteran umpires, if they see you move the ball too much, they're going to tell you to stop doing that. And then if you don't stop doing that, when you do catch a strike, they're going to ball it. Just to let you know, stop doing it.
Right.
So moves will be made smaller, you know? So, but you gotta see where you can get away with, because if I catch a ball here and I move it over here and they call it a strike, I'm going to keep doing that.
Right.
But if I do it and he calls it a ball and says, hey, don't move it. Now this time I'm going to catch it here and I'm going to move it here. And maybe he calls this one instead of moving it all the way. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, I mean.
So there's almost personal relationships with the umpire too, right?
Oh, like, definitely. These guys know who they're getting that night. So when you're going up and you're getting ready to work with this guy, he's going to work with you, you know? Mm-hmm. And whenever he does get a call, a ball, let's say he calls a ball and everybody starts screaming at him, hey, that was a strike. Sometimes it's good if you know it was a ball to be like, hey, forget about everybody. I'm right here. I know that was a ball. Good call. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
Even if the stadium is not there, I have the plate right here.
Yeah.
So I know if he's right or wrong. I'm the one who knows if he's right or wrong.
Well, my favorite thing about a baseball game, watching it from the stands, is how ridiculous you can get as an audience member, right? Where you're just like, there's no way that you could see it a strike or a ball better than the umpire and the catcher, but it's still so fun to be like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. A great thing is if you're a catcher and that keeps happening, that means you're doing something good.
Right.
It means you're making everything look like a strike.
Speaking of relationships with the umpires, do you ever have an umpire that you don't get along with? For like stupid reasons, just like, oh, Franklin's behind the plate tonight. He stands way too close to me, or Alan just has the worst breath and I'm going to be smelling that all night. Like, is there any of that stuff that goes on, or is it just,
yeah, honestly, I had an umpire. I can't remember his name.
Sadly, you can, you just don't want to say it. It's fine.
It's probably fine. No, I actually don't. But in Double A, I actually got ejected. And it was honestly a pretty bad ejected. I mean, not that I went crazy or nothing, but like I didn't do anything and I got ejected.
Wow.
So like I did throw in a, like, I just looked at him and I told him, he messed up. And yeah, he didn't like it, but I didn't disrespect the guy, you know?
Yeah.
And he tossed me. And then after that, every time I'd had him behind the plate, he kind of will give me like this stern, like, but this year I had him all this year and we were great.
Okay.
We were great. He didn't,
which does show some professionalism, right?
Right. Right. So I'm glad we got over that because it is a little awkward, you know, because I'm not going to be mad at this guy. You know what I'm saying? Honestly, he was just mad at me. I was mad after he tossed me, but like, I got over it.
Yeah.
And then, like, I'm glad we just got past it because I got to work. You know what I'm saying? And he has to work. Like, this is way beyond me and
yeah,
him.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's not hold a grudge. We have to go to work.
And here, I don't want to be during the game just awkward because I got to communicate with him and I have to. Like, I have to.
Yeah.
I got a guy's job on the line in front of me. So, yeah, it has happened. And it's honestly kind of weird because grown men shouldn't build grudges. Like, get over it. If we hit each other for 5 seconds, it's okay. But yeah,
this is such good stuff, man. Because these are the like little behind the scenes stuff that us fans don't really get privy to, right? So we really appreciate you kind of filling us in here. When did you? We'll get into listener questions in just a second here. So just a couple last ones here, and we'll get you on your way. When did you get into baseball as a kid? How old were you?
I was like three.
You're like, I don't know.
Yeah, my mom and dad, they put me in coach pitch. I think I was three. I'm pretty sure I have pictures of me in Pampers in playing.
Wow. You were swinging a bat before you were potty trained. I love it.
Literally, yeah.
Okay, so we're going to end on this one and we'll throw to listener questions. I'm going to name some things Okay, just random things. And then you are going to rank them between one being one, you don't like them at all, 10, you love this thing. You get the scoring scale here? Pretty simple, right? We got it. All right.
Pretty easy.
Okay. First thing, scallops.
3.
Okay, you're not a scallop guy. Interesting. Yeah. What's your do you have a seafood you like, or are you not really a seafood guy?
I can eat scallops. But I can't just eat scallops alone. It's got to be like with something. So that's why we'll go with it.
Okay. Star Wars.
10.
Oh, you're a fan. Love it. All right. Do you have a favorite? Favorite movie? Favorite?
When I have a son, his name is going to be Anakin. So.
Wow. Buddy, I love it.
Hey,
that's better
than Grogu. For any Baby Yoda fans out there.
All right. Next one here. Oh, yeah. Love it, buddy. All right. Next one here, Chris. Drake.
8.
8. Okay. We got a Drake fan. Like it. Okay. I've got Vancouver on the list here. We already know your feelings on that. That's a 10.
That's a 10.
Friends.
Friends? The show?
Yes.
Never seen an episode.
Buddy! Unbelievable! That takes effort. That takes effort. Like, you almost got to avoid it at that point.
I know it's a really famous show.
Especially considering you're in enough hotel rooms. There's reruns of that on nonstop. All right, last one here. Ivan Pudge Rodriguez.
10.
Love it. Love it. Yeah. All right, my guy. Honestly, Chris, we just cannot thank you enough for continuing to come on the show. You show us so much generosity with your time, and it's super appreciated, man. We are so rooting for you in 2023, buddy. Can't wait for you to get that call up. We'll be all over it when you do. We'll throw to Adam here. We got a couple of listener questions for you, and we'll let you be on your way.
Cool. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you bet, Chris. Your first time on the show, I mean, everybody remembers you did it right from the locker room. So when you do get called up to the show, we're expecting another locker room interview, okay?
Let's do it. I'll do it in the locker room.
Sounds good. All right. So first one comes in from our Patreon. Mr. Krister wants to know, which Jays pitcher are you most looking forward to eventually working with? And would it be more difficult for you to handle Gossman's nasty low slider or Bassett's 6 different pitches?
Honestly, I work with this guy off season every day. I mean, I grew up with him. So Alek Manoah.
That's I knew like that was going to be your brother, answer.
You know?
Yeah.
Like so, I mean, it would be amazing for my family to sit next to his family and we're both playing. I mean, totally. That would be so sick.
It would be pretty cool. And maybe for those listening right now who don't know, you boys have played together since you were
kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That picture of you and Pampers, he's also in Pampers in the same picture, right?
Pampers are way bigger than mine, man.
Oh, man. How about the star he's sure turned into? Hey, just you got to be so happy for him.
I mean, it's unbelievable. This guy, he's a horse, man. He's a horse. And the awesome thing is that he knows he's a horse, you know, and when things, I mean, they rarely go left, but when things do go left, this guy does not panic at all. Mm-hmm. But guys, Jays fans, when he has a bad outing, do not worry. He's not panicking because he knows he's a horse. And, you know, his family is just like that. Just all of them. They're just all of them. His brother's just like that. So, I mean, this guy's going to be a perennial all-star, guys. And I'm so happy to have him as, you know, my family member. I've seen him since he was in first grade. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's definitely sick. But the thing that I saw the most was, like, he believed in himself. Like, mm-hmm. Not fake, you know what I'm saying? Not saying, oh, maybe, no.
No
this
lip
guy,
service.
Genuinely, yeah. He was in the big leagues when he was in Vancouver. You know what I'm saying? When he was in Vancouver, he's like, I need to go to the big leagues now. And not saying like saying that and then be like, oh my God, am I ready? No, no. This guy for sure thought he was ready.
So, no, well, that is such a great
ready.
Point, man.
He's definitely ready.
Yeah. That is such a great point about when he is dealt an L, just how he deals with it. Cause that is one thing Adam and I have talked about him numerous times, is that there's something to be said for the way you deal with an obstacle being put in front of you. Cause you, especially with pitchers, it's so easy to let emotion take control of you, right? And throw the glove and get upset when you get pulled from the game and have a hissy fit in the dugout. But it's never that way with Manoah, right? It's just like, in fact, as soon as he gets pulled, he's right away talking to a catcher or a staff member about something, right? It's very cool.
That's how he is. I'm telling you, it's like he's from Miami, you know? He's been through so much that he's just not going to let these little things affect his confidence. It's just not going to happen to that guy. And I love him for it. He's a horse.
All right. Last question about Alek Manoah. Can he dance?
No. Definitely can dance.
All right.
One of my favorite things to see him do is, it's going to sound dumb, but when that guy falls, if he just trips, it's literally, it's the biggest man I've ever seen fall. You know what I'm saying? Like, this guy's bringing down everything with me.
Oh my God. That's great.
I love it.
Okay. Last one here comes in from Ian on our Patreon as well. Wants to know, with only two catchers on the 40 man, does Chris see himself as the next man up if there is a case of bad tacos? And how will this spring's preparation be altered? Will Chris spend more time with the MLB pitchers this year?
I mean, honestly, that type of stuff is just completely out of my control. You know that, guys. So,
yeah.
I honestly, I'm not going to wish no bad tacos on nobody. Kirky is my man. Yeah. Jano's my man. So, like, you know, there's 30 teams. There's plenty of time, guys. So, you know, we're not going to wish that upon anybody. Now, that being said, if the opportunity were to arise, I mean, defensively, I'm 100% ready. Like, Blue Jays fans, you guys got nothing to worry about. I'm going to take care of our pitchers as much as I can. I'm not going to panic whatsoever. Now, offensively, I don't know if I'm going to hit 30 home runs or hit as much as Kurt. I don't know if I'm going to do that. I'm going to try my best. Definitely, you know, I'm a respectable hitter. My at-bats are good. But, defensively, I'm ready to go for sure to catch any staff, our big staff. But, yeah, I mean, whatever it is that they want me to do, that whether it's up and down, whether it's whatever it is, you know, I'll be ready, guys. I'll be grinding it out in Buffalo in spring training. Just make sure that whenever it is called upon, I'm ready to go.
We have no doubt, awesome. Chris. Honestly, that is one thing about you. One of your strong suits is that you have some mental toughness to you, and you are able to compartmentalize those things about the aspects of the game that are out of your hand, which is like you just mentioned, right? It's not up to you if you're the next guy up or when you get the call or whatever. All you can do is continue to grind and continue to be ready. And we know darn well you're going to do that. So honestly, man, thank you again. And we're rooting for you, buddy.
Thank you guys so much. Appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to the Walk Off Podcast with Scott Belford and Adam Mack, with a new episode every Friday.
Oh! Oscar with a drive. Cheese and crackers. Shows to pitch to him.
Thanks for listening.